I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land in which this podcast is being recorded, the Gunai Kurnai Nation. I pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, especially those listening here today. Welcome to Catch Me Outside My Comfort Zone, a lifestyle podcast that focuses on the outside of our zones as well as the inside of our homes. I'm your host, Alyssa Sutherland, designer, entrepreneur, self-development enthusiast, and your ultimate hype up sis. Come with me as I take you on an empowered and inspiring journey to build the life of your dreams. This is your safe space where you are supported, you are guided, and you know that you are more than capable of achieving everything you have always desired. So get comfortable with being uncomfortable, settle in for the ride. This is your life, and it's time to claim it. 25 years and my life is still trying to get up the great big hill of home for a destination. Guys, it's official. I have hit 25. I'm in my frontal lobe has fully developed era, and I can't believe that we are now also officially in summer. What the hell? The fact that my birthday's happened, where this Christmas tree is up, and that we have officially hit summer. Yesterday was day one, and it did what it got paid to do, and it showed up and delivered the most. So I have just had such a beautiful weekend celebrating my birthday, which was on Friday, with my family, and then had my friends come down and just do all my favorite things, which involves drinking lots of wine and swimming in the pool and going to the beach and eating good food and dancing and just having my favorite people around me to make me feel so, so loved. And do all those things with those people, because quality time is a huge love language for me, because obviously I spend a lot of time alone, working alone, living alone. So as much as I enjoy my own quality time, it's really, really nice to spend it with those people who I do love and be like so present and so there with them, and them to be here and like really there for me. I don't know. I've always loved my birthday because of this. Like, I love to share the love of my life, myself, loving my life, living my best life with those people that have made my life such a good life. So I'm so grateful for those people and everyone who sent me beautiful birthday love. That's my second love language. Pretty much actually my first is words of affirmation. So when people just write you the most beautiful things for your birthday and making sure that you have a really good day and just showering you with love, I just feel like that it's why it's my favorite day of the year, because my love languages just get so overflowed that I'm just peaking. That's probably why I feel so energetic and like fully, my social battery is like fully charged and like my cup is full kind of thing, because socializing, all that sort of stuff is what charges me. It doesn't drain me unless it's with the wrong people. So obviously having a weekend with the right people, doing the best things, I feel so good and I feel really refreshed, and I'm really excited for a very, 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 very big week. Obviously this week, I'm just going to put it out there to give you a little reminder. This Wednesday is our first cold dip happening. So in case you missed last week's episode when I launched this huge secret, I have officially launched a Catch Me Outside My Comfort Zone cold dip community here in East Gippsland in my little coastal town, Lakes Entrance. And it'll happen this Wednesday, 6 a.m., meeting on the grass area at the front of the Surf Life Saving Club. Bring a friend, bring a sister, and don't forget to tell your barista. Like, honestly, everyone needs to know about this. So I'm very excited for that. And since launching and receiving, again, let me just say, all that fucking love from you guys and support about it, like, I feel, again, abundantly overflowing. And I've got some really, really exciting collaborations already in the planning. So stay tuned for all of that. But today's episode is about a little reflection moment. Obviously, we love to talk about things in reflection when we reach another year of life and we feel wiser. And I did this last year, an episode about, 24 lessons in 24 years. But I'm obviously doing something very similar, pretty much 25 something. But I thought I would take it from a different approach and be more like, I don't know, would you call it big sis advice? Ultimately, it's 25 things that I would tell my younger self now that I've hit this ripe age. And I've journaled about it and I feel like there's going to be some that I merge together and some that I've thought of later on that I'm going to add on. And it might end up being like 30 things, but stay with me because I think this is just a really nodding your head the whole episode, like, oh my God, so true. You just sometimes need to hear that quote again or hear that piece of advice or listen to that reminder and just be like, yeah, that's so damn true. So thank you for being here. Thank you for celebrating me with me because it's my favorite thing to do. Very self-centered. I know I'm very main character when it comes to my birthday, but I think everybody should. It's the one day of the year that you get, or like week or month, that you get to be like so self-focused and live it up, honestly. So here we go. 25 things I would tell my younger self now as a 25-year-old. Okay, so first things first is I want to start off by saying lots of these are just quotes and I might add on, I might be like, that's all you need to hear. So apologies if you're just about to listen to 25 quotes, but in my opinion, they're important lessons and I've always loved quotes my whole fucking life. I literally just had this flashback in my brain that like when I was in year 7, I used to post like Drake quotes on my Instagram like 10 times a day. And I think that was the beginning of my brand, like just a wellness wise girly. Throwback to the Drake quotes. So number 25 / number 1. I think I've written them in 1 to 25, but they're not in any order of importance. It's mainly just what came to me. I spent like 4 days journaling about this because I wanted to really come up with things in reflection. So here we go. You can't have the rainbow without the rain. I love this one because rainbows have been such a symbolic sign for me this year. Specifically, rewind back to June when I was doing my 30-day self-care challenge and I would see a rainbow, if not two, sometimes three, like literally every single day. And I just was like, what the fuck do all these rainbows mean? I was asking people, I was Googling it. And like, I think I found my little meaning behind it at the end of the day and it was very relevant to like current situation, but it was like really beautiful and it was a reflection for me to be like that whole concept of you cannot have the rainbow without the rain, because at that time I was having a bit of an identity crisis and I just was like really struggling with work and lots of different things and I felt really, 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 really low, like probably the lowest I'd felt in a long time. And I feel like the symbolicness of seeing a rainbow and knowing that it's like you're gonna have the rainbow but you're gonna have to go through the rain to get to the other side kind of thing. And the rainbow is a sign that everything's gonna be okay and there's gonna be no more rain after this. So I mean, that's the way I look at it. Number 2, they do not owe you anything. This has been a really big learn for me this year and it's an absolute truth bucket, because not only is this relevant for like work, life, relationships, friendships, anything, like it can relate to so much stuff. And I personally looked at this approach early in the year when I was realizing how much I had put expectations on others to fulfill something for me. And it's like, babe, they're not thinking about you all the time and that's okay. They aren't wired to you. They aren't, married to you. They aren't working for you. They aren't living with you. Like these people that you're putting these expectations on are just living their life, and you know, they aren't thinking about you all the time. Sorry to be brutally honest. And unless you're in like a bound contract, an agreement with somebody, then yeah, anyone can do whatever the fuck they want, and they do not have to meet your burning desires and the expectations. Their behavior will disappoint you, their outcome will disappoint you, you know, things they say will disappoint you. Them not showing up to something that's important to you will disappoint you, but at the end of the day, they don't owe you anything. And it's, I know lots of people probably look at it and think, well, isn't that like just the bare minimum for them to do this or to do that? Yeah, that's on them though. Like, that's a them choice. And if they're not choosing that for you, then you can look at it from one point of view or another. And it's ultimately taking the route to look at it from a different point of view and be like, okay, I'm disappointed that they didn't do that for me, but they probably. And you could think of a thousand excuses as to why not, but ultimately, they probably just didn't fucking want to, and that's okay. It's harsh. It's a hard truth. Should I have actually named this podcast 25 Hard Truths? Maybe I will, because I feel like that's all they are. So yeah, they don't owe you anything. And the quicker you learn that, the quicker you get over being disappointed or disheartened or mad or resentful, because life's too short for that as well. So it's kind of just like, oh well, if they show me too many times that they're not willing to take action or to do this or to do that, and this can be like in any life situation. If it happens too many times, of course you need to then be like, okay, where's the fucking bare minimum here? But, and when do I cut this off? But ultimately, it's not that deep. Number three, in reverse. You don't owe anyone anything. Basically, let's flip it around. It's a boundary thing, really. And you do not have to do anything you don't want to do or don't feel comfortable with or don't feel aligned with. You know, if you don't feel like 100% in something, if it's not a fuck yes and it's a fuck no, and that's okay as well. Maybe communication is what's really important here in both parties. But ultimately, if you haven't signed a contract in a bound agreement, have had a conversation and you need to meet the expectations of what you've, you know, what you're integral to do, then yeah, ultimately you can do whatever the fuck you want and slay with that, roll with that. Number four, you are a vessel. And I love this because I think of it in a lot of different ways. Firstly, a vessel, you are having a human experience through this human vessel. So that's important for you to look after, for you to be grateful for you to enjoy, to not take for granted, you know, live every second you can in this vessel that you get to do so many things, and we spend so much time hating on it and talking negatively about this thing that we get to experience life in. So for me, it's like, remember that you are just a vessel and your soul is on a holiday, and this is like the thing you get to be on. And then again, you are a vessel to bring things into nature and into reality and into form. And I think that is the coolest fucking thing in the world to think about how much we can make happen and what we can create and what we can do. And my friend said this to me when I was obviously about to launch the Cold Dip community. She said, you are literally just a vessel to birth this idea and bring it into fruition and create the safe space for it to happen. And I was like, wow. God is really using me as the vessel to do that. And with 100 other things, like even thinking about when I created that journal last year and just how I had that thought in my brain, I designed it in my mind, like it came to me in my sleep, like all this random stuff. And then it's now a physical book and it's on shelves in shops and it's in people's homes and they write things in it and I write things. Excuse me, in it as well, and it was something that just came out of my brain. Like I was the vessel to birth this physical thing, and that's just crazy. You're a vessel and you birth a child. Like thinking about what the female body can do, like it's absolutely insane. So remember that you're just a vessel, and we should be very, very grateful for our vessel. Number five, this one is very similar to number two. People will love with their actions. And they will lie with their words. This was a little download that came to me recently, and I'm very self-aware of it because communication is really big for me, and words of affirmation are really good, like really big for me as well. So obviously, I think I'm really grateful when I hear people use words and they say things I want to hear and validate me and blah, 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 love, love, love. And I get really attached to words, so much so that I forget to encounter people's actions that sometimes don't match their words and don't, you know, don't hold their word through their actions. But at the same time, you can totally flip it and be like, some people say things they don't mean or lie about things because they're too scared to say the truth, even if that means like being really vulnerable for them. And loving with their actions, that's something they either do show or maybe they don't. And you can look at it from a point of view like, I know my cousin was, when she first got into her relationship, she was really craving words of affirmation from her partner because that's her love language, but he wasn't good at like giving that, but he was, his actions showed otherwise, and that's how he showed her his love, was through like gift giving and acts of service and like literally doing things for her to show his love. But he wasn't good at saying words that made her feel loved. Not like I love you, or more so it's more like, I don't know, I'm really proud of you, or that was so good, or you really look really nice in that color top, like, you know. So just remember that one. Actions probably speak a lot louder than words. Number six, never react in the moment. You simply need to process and respond. I know it's hard, especially if the situation is happening live, but always be the bigger person. Walk away, take a breath. You do not need to respond. No one's urgency is your emergency. Like, just take a chill pill before you respond to something with, you know, genuine, kind words. Kill them with kindness, you know. Number seven. We're really taking our time here, but we'll get through it. We'll get through it. Stick with me. Okay. Being authentic will get you in the right rooms, and faking it or hanging out with the wrong people will only prolong that experience. So ultimately, the longer you take to turn to being your most authentic self, the longer it will take for you to get to where you need to get to in life, because you're too busy trying to be someone that you're not. And that's going to get you into rooms, into relationships, into friendship groups, in the wrong situations, because you're faking who you are. Number eight, money always comes back, but the opportunity to make the memory might not. Book the holiday, buy the dress, you know, do the thing that makes you feel good, because ultimately one day you're going to look back and be like, fuck, I had $10,000 and I should have just spent that on what I wanted to, because now I have $10,000 again. And it's like the money never went anywhere, but ultimately you got something out of it. You got to feel good in something that you really wanted to wear, or you got to buy something that you've really been manifesting for a really long time, and something that you use all the time, and it's an investment into you. You might want to invest into your wellness, into your health, into your education, into your learning, into experiences, into travel. You know, the money's always going to come back to you. It's always there for you. You've got to have a really positive money mindset. But yeah, choosing to be too focused on the money and miss out on an opportunity to just be spontaneous and just live your life, or, you know, not feel guilty for buying, using your money and buying something, like, the opportunity might not ever come back. So, you know, take it from a girl that doesn't have much in her savings. But also, like, what's that money going to do when you die, you know? Obviously pass it on, but, like, it's just money. People want to know stories. They want to hear wise words. They want to feel inspired. No one feels inspired by the girl that sits at home on a Saturday night. I'm kidding. That's me. Anyway, number nine. If you are the most successful person in the room, you're probably in the wrong room. This isn't always the case, but in order to continue to grow, you must push yourself outside the familiar life that you know and the circle of people that you know. Like, you know that saying, the five people you spend the most time with, you are the sixth. So be careful with the people you constantly surround yourself with, and try and step into new rooms, unfamiliar territory, and rooms that you want to be inspired to grow in and believe, like, have support and be believed in. So continue to show up in those places where you have to continue to learn, continue to network, grow yourself. Number 10, it's okay to live your plan A. I just love this one. I heard it recently and I was like, fuck, that's so good. Like, instead of saying, you know, you can live your dream life or you can make your dreams happen, it's like, Actually, we all come to Earth with a destiny, and it's to live out this plan A with our purpose and our dreams and all these things that are on our heart that ebb and flow into us in our life. It's okay to actually live that out because that's what you came here to do, babe. So it's crazy to think that I'm living my plan A, and the fact is that there's so many people that won't ever live that because they don't think they can. And probably a lot of people, unfortunate events happen, and yeah, it doesn't work out that way. But lots of people settle for their plan B, C, D because they think that they can't have their A, but everyone can live their plan A and it's okay. Number 11, create the void and the universe will fill it. I think that's my similar analogy to like you can't put new dishes in the dishwasher if you haven't unpacked it. Like it's full, nothing else will fit. You have to clear out things in your life to make room for new things to come in. And sometimes that means taking the risk, quitting the job before you have another one, breaking up with someone before it gets too bad, leaving that friendship group because you know that they're not fulfilling you, and just trusting that you're going to find a new friend or you're going to have to spend some time alone. Like it's taking the risk, knowing that there's going to be that portal of time where it's going to feel uncomfortable and lonely, but the quicker you do that, the quicker you make room for the new thing to come in. And the universe works very fucking fast if you let it. Number 12. Don't live to work, work to live. And I think this is something I've been saying to a lot of people recently. And this year I've focused on it. I see myself focusing on it a lot more in next year as well. But like, there's only so much time in your life that you get to just be so free, where you have no expectations on you. No big responsibilities. Yes, I run a business, I'm aware of that, and it's a lot of pressure and a lot of stress. But I also don't manage a team yet, and I don't have a place of work that I have to go to and show up to every day. And I don't have a partner, and I don't have children, and I don't have all these pressures on me to be there for everybody else and to support everyone else and be a leader for everyone else. Like, I'm just a solo gal gypsying around, and the longer I get to do that, the better, because one day I know I'm going to sit back and think, fuck, I wish I could just be lying on the beach on a Thursday reading my book. But no, I'm managing a team, or I'm going to pick up my kid from school because they're sick. Like, you know, there's one day you're gonna not be this selfish, and it's okay to be selfish. And especially when it comes to work, like, I know everyone's like, work, 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 and then when you're 60, you can retire and live your best life or whatever. But it's like, travel now, do the things now. And this is a thought process that has toyed in my head the opposite way, because literally advice to my younger self, because I've spent 25 years, all I've worked towards is a career, and I'm very proud of myself and I'm very happy with where I'm at. And of course, it's so much easier to say this now when I'm in a successful place. But looking back, you know, there was a lot of things I missed out on because I was too focused at uni or too focused working full time and not making time for other people. Like, I've been very selfish in my early 20s because of work. And I think moving forward, knowing that any day, any time, you can meet someone and you can start a family and anything can happen, and like your freedom can just be taken away from you so quickly. So I think that is my theme. That is my focus. Like, I'm working to live, like to live my best life, to live, manage to afford a lifestyle that I want to live and whatever. And I love my work and I love what I do, so it makes it easy to have that balance. But you get it. Number 13, you can't control the wind, but you can adjust your sails. Like, that's just a beautiful quote, and we love that. And we did a full episode on that recently. But ultimately, it's like, I used to get so frustrated at people who complain about things that they can or can't control. And I'm like, if you can control this situation, then shut up and go and do something about it. But if you can't control it, if this is just something that's like really stressing you out, but you know, you've got no control over the situation, you just have to ride it out, or you just have to, it's not even your problem to begin with, you know that it's impossible for you to do anything about it, then just shut the fuck up. Like, you know, either way, just shut the fuck up. But I've got bigger fish to fry. I've got bigger things to listen to, and I don't want to listen to people complain about shit when they could be focusing on a positive thing or be grateful for something. So I'm like, you know what, you can control how you respond to something and how you do something about it. And if you want to talk shit about something and know that you deep down can do something about it or react differently, then that's on you to decide and do. But yeah, I'm just like, let the wind be the wind and you focus on what you can do and you and what you control. And just shut the fuck up. Number 14, gut feelings are guardian angels. And I love this in two different concepts. Firstly, a gut feeling in a positive way and your gut, being your guardian angel, like being your spirit guides, someone sort of like giving you the nod of like approval or like, you know, this isn't right. So just trusting those little pockets of intuition that pop into your head, like not necessarily in your root chakra, but like more so in spaces where it's just like, oh my God, they're sending me a sign or they're telling me what to do. Like I need to trust them, because that first thought you have about something is most likely them communicating to you, if you're happy to believe that. But secondly to that, gut feelings are often a sign of protecting you or redirecting you or trying to communicate with you if something's off. And I think a lot of people feel, in particular, I'm going to use the concept of a relationship, feeling something like what we describe as butterflies in your gut is probably not actually a feeling of safety. And if you're feeling that, like, anxiously feeling like sick in your stomach when you're around somebody, it's actually probably not a positive sign, because you don't feel safe and you feel like your body's trying to protect you and it's like uneasy. Of course, we get this feeling of nervousness before like maybe seeing someone, or when you like aren't expecting to see someone and then you see them and you get like this rush through your body and it like might feel like a little anxious spell or whatever. But if you're sitting there with that person, talking to that person, or like even more so deeply, like I'm thinking back to times where I've like been lying in bed or someone's been, you know, with me and I just can't sleep because I just feel so anxious in my stomach. And it's like, wow, you are not meant to be in this situation. You do not feel safe. This person is not for you, girl. And like abort mission right now. So that's probably a bigger sign for me, is the gut feeling of like, I'm feeling something in my gut. It's trying to tell me something's off. And you really need to trust that feeling, because ultimately, and again, to think into more so like relationships or being around people that are more aligned to you, you'll feel a sensation more in your heart center and in your like feeling that warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart, not necessarily in your gut. Like it's focusing on where it is more so, and knowing that when you're with the person that makes you feel relaxed and like, but even if it's like if you feel tired or you feel like sleepy or you feel like bored, even around someone, it's actually not a bad thing. It's because you don't need to run to safety. Like your body isn't flighting. It's actually feeling safe, and that's why you feel relaxed. And people think, oh, but there's no spark there. But like maybe this is what you're meant to feel. So yeah, trust the gut feelings. Number 15, if an idea comes to your heart, it is yours to action. And I'm a big believer of that, and we know that. Number 16, always be the one to say hello first. It shows confidence and dominance. And I fucking love this one. And again, it's been a new thing for me to be better at doing this, because I am a little bit of a shy girl at first. Hard to believe, I know. But ultimately, I feel powerful when I feel uncomfortable or feel nervous or feel outside my comfort zone, and I go up and I introduce myself to somebody, or I say hi first to someone that probably makes me feel uncomfortable and might be intimidated by, I probably don't really want to say hi to them. But if I do that, then I feel like I've got the power, I've got the confidence, I've got the dominance of the situation. And everyone probably feels a bit shy at first anyway. Like they're like, should I say hi? Should I not? Like everyone gets a little bit anxious. So I think making that other person feel comfortable and just being like, oh, hey, it's so good to see you. And then they might be like, oh my God, I didn't even see you there, when really they were just too shy to come and talk to you. Be the confident one. Be it. Just, you can do it. Number 17. Hard conversations equals an easy life. Easy conversations equals a hard life. I can't even add on to that, because I just think it's, you've got to figure that out in your own way. Number 18. Always know, or I don't even know if this is the best way to word it, but like knowing when it's time to go home, like knowing when it's time to end the night, you know, like the party is over, nothing good is going to happen. You do not need to stay out. You do not need another drink. Like, I think we all can give that advice back to our younger self, is like, there's so many times you stay hoping for something to happen and you know it's not going to happen, and you don't want to end your night disappointed because you stayed out for something that you knew wasn't going to happen. And it's just like, it's just one night of your life. You're going to go out a billion more times, or, you know, if it was meant to be, it would be. So just make peace with that. If you feel like going home, go home. Like, even when I was in Perth recently, we're out at this place, at this bar, and I went to the toilet because we were going home at like 9 o'clock, probably 8 o'clock actually. And there was these young girls in the bathroom, and one of the friends, I don't know if she felt unwell or she just didn't want to really be there, or she was like, oh, I might come back out later, I don't know. She's like, oh, I might just stay till this time. I don't know. I didn't say anything because I was like, let these little girls figure it out for themselves. But I felt like saying to her, babe, if you feel like it's time to go home, trust that guide and go the fuck home, because nothing good is going to happen after 9 o'clock, and you know that you're sitting here not comfortable, not feeling it, and you don't want to also be the downer on the night out because you're like not vibing, you know. Know when it's time for you to go home, and that's okay. And if people make you feel bad about it, that's just them projecting, because, you know, they're obviously not having a good night either. So yeah, know when it's time to go home. Know when it's time to call it a night. You don't need to keep kicking on. Kick-ons never end well. I've got too many stories, especially know when it's time to go home from the fucking Christmas party. That's my biggest life lesson, but I think it's a good one. And especially now that I'm turning 25 and I didn't wake up with a hangover today, even though I had a big day of day drinking, you know, you've got to stay hydrated. Got to make sure you eat something before you drink, and you will not have a spewsy the next day. You'll be fine. Number 19, your vibe attracts your tribe. And this jumps back to the authenticity, because obviously the more you just step into your self-confidence and like feeling really good about yourself and doing the things that you enjoy doing and not worrying about what anyone else is doing, the quicker that you're going to attract like-minded people, and you are a magnet for them. So just be your vibe. Number 20, no one is you, and that is your power. It all comes back down to like competition and collaboration and all that sort of stuff, which is kind of what the next one is, but I feel like merging those two together. You know, competition happens at the bottom, collaboration happens at the top. Just stay in your own lane, babe. The next one is, no matter how shit your day is, have a shower. Just go have a fucking shower, because it will always make you feel better. And just try and think of one thing to be grateful for. And if it's that one thing that you're grateful for is the fact that you've got a hot shower and hot, clean, fresh water on you to wash this negative vibe off you, then like that's all you need to try and think of, that one positive thing. And just try and focus on that present moment, the water on your body. Take some deep breaths, say some affirmations into the water, and just be like, you know what, I am so lucky, blah, blah, blah. Everything's going to work out. It's just a bad day. It's not a bad life. If it's not going to matter in 5 years, it's not going to matter for 5 more minutes. So wash it away. Contrary to that, 23 is cold water will fix everything. So maybe at the end of that shower, flick it to cold for the last 10 seconds and let it be like an electric shock through your body. But of course, like you all know, I'm such a big believer in the power of cold water. Even if it's just like ice in your face first thing in the morning, obviously doing a cold dip, cold plunge, when you're hungover, swimming in the ocean, all those things, like cold water literally is magical. And starting your day with it is better than drugs, babe. Number 24, if not now, then when? And what the fuck are you waiting for? And listen to that song by Gwen Stefani, because trust me, it'll make you realize that actually you're right. You know, what am I waiting for? If I'm waiting for tomorrow, if I'm waiting for a week, a month, like just rip the band-aid off and do it, you know? Number 25, I kind of wrote two different things here, and they're very, I think, hand in hand and two big themes for my whole life and whole brand. But obviously, I wrote great things never came from comfort zones, but that would just be a bit of a underwhelming statement to say at this point because you all fucking know that. But I thought of this one later on and I was like, I think this actually is probably my biggest life lesson. Probably going to think of the 50 other things after this, but we can save them for next year. But I'm going to hit it with 25 is actually breakdowns lead to breakthroughs. And I know you're probably thinking, sis, like, are you trying to tell me that I'm going to have a few breakdowns in life? And yeah, I am. You're going to have a fucking lot of breakdowns, Alyssa, in your 25 years, but your life is still trying to get up that great big hill, okay? You're going to struggle in moments in life. You're going to hit rock bottom lots of times. You're going to be broke, you're going to be lonely, you're going to be heartbroken, you're going to be lost, you're going to lose your job, you're going to have to move to one place to another, and it's all going to happen outside of your control, and you're not going to know what the fuck is going on, and you're going to lose trust in the universe, and you're going to just think that you've failed, and you're going to have all these really shit things happen, okay? That's what's going to happen to you, Lisa. I could have said that, okay? I could sit here and say to my younger self, be prepared for all this shit to happen, but be more prepared for that to hit rock bottom, to go through the breakthrough, and let the magic unfold in front of you and regain trust in the universe. Have faith in the universe. Life is happening for you, babe, not to you, okay? And the quicker you figure that one out, you just trust the process, you choose to surrender, you go with the ebb and flow, you choose the path of least resistance, and you let the inspiration, the miracle manifest into your life once you've had that breakthrough. The idea will come through. You have to, like, sometimes things have to get really bad for you to think, okay, well, how can I change? What can I learn from this? What am I going to do moving forward? If your life isn't constantly adapting, then you're not moving forward, you're stagnant, and you're not going to ever grow. So, choosing to look at that opportunity of the hardship and turn it into something positive is my biggest life lesson to my younger self. And she's been very, very, very good at it, and I'm very proud of her for all the things she's managed to get through in life because she's looked at the opportunity rather than the negativity, and that is my proudest trait about myself. And I just think you have to accept the breakthrough to come from the breakdown. You have to have the shit days, you have to have the really low lows to appreciate the highs, to cry it out, let the puddle flow out of you, okay? The tears will flow, and that's what helps you, like, you know, make space. You create the void within yourself, you clear your mind, and honestly, the most magical things come to you after a breakdown. And I think a lot of people could agree with that. So sometimes it's okay to have a low hitting moment. Make sure you tell someone that's happening. Make sure you communicate. Make sure people know that you're not okay. Okay? Because that's a big thing as well. And I'm so grateful that in my last couple of years, I've learned to tell people when I'm not okay and reached out to the people that I know can help me get through that. And sometimes it's simply just them sending you a song like What Are You Waiting For by Gwen Stefani for you to be like, okay, you're fucking right, Chels. I think I do need to pull the trigger on this and make some big things happen. So that's my life advice from my 25 years to my younger self. And if I could say what's going to happen in my next 25 years, I think a lot of that on repeat, but more so, I think if I could give advice to my future self, I think I would say, Alyssa, life is going to get easier the quicker you step into your flow and surrender, and you don't try and force things. You let go of the control and you just embrace things to happen the way they're meant to because the universe has a plan better than you have for yourself. And you know it's going to be beautiful. It's always worked out for you. So just keep trusting and knowing that everything is always working out for your higher self. And just operate on that highest frequency you can because that's where all the magic happens, babe.